You're listening to Immaculate Conception Podcasts, recorded every Sunday at the 11 o'clock Mass at our new church located at 411 Palmer Road in Columbia, Illinois. For more information about Immaculate Conception, please go to www.icc-columbia-il.us. Our pastor is Father Carl Scheer. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. When I was growing up and coming up through school, my parents and teachers and everybody who had any control over me used to always say, "Practice what you preach." And I need to confess to you this morning, right out front, I'm not going to do that very well today. Father Carl left on the summer part of his vacation very early this morning. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago, when we were talking over the schedule, he said to me, and I don't remember if it was phone or email, but he said to me, "On July 19th, could you take all 3 Sunday Masses and 2 baptisms?" "No problem," I said. I must have been some kind of fool. I am now at the 3rd Mass, and there are 2 baptisms to follow, and I'm starting to run on the fumes, so be patient. I'm going to try to keep things a little more brief than ordinary and still not lose my grip altogether. This idea of resting, as Jesus said to his apostles, is something that we say all the time in our rhetoric, but most of us as Americans are not very good at it. In the gospel today in St. Mark, which is a continuation of where we were last Sunday, remember Jesus sent his 12 apostles out on a kind of a test run. This is part of their seminary training. Sent them out 2 by 2 so that they could lean on each other, gave them rather strict instructions and everything. And today we have them coming back to report in how they did. Now, I am sure, since I was a seminary student myself, that they kind of overdid it. They probably worked too long hours, covered too many miles, tried to be all things to all people, and pretty much burnt themselves out. But anyway, they came back to Jesus and they had a debriefing session. That's where we pick it up today. And they were kind of proud of themselves, quite frankly. And Jesus, being the wise instructor that he was, listened to all their stories. And then he said, "Okay, guys, that's enough for a while. Let's go to a deserted place." And as he said, "Rest a while." Well, and then we heard how the crowd got wind of that, went around the side of the lake, and their plans were pretty much sabotaged. But it shows the sensitivity of Jesus to the human element that he was building his church on. These were human beings who had all the ups and downs and needs of any other human beings, and he was asking them to do heroic ministry by being the first shepherds of his church. They didn't have any idea what it was going to be like after the resurrection when they had to go out and really put their lives on the line. But this was a trial run, and Jesus sent them out, worked them like dogs, and then told them, "Let's go off and rest a little bit." In the first reading, hundreds of years before that, the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah uses some rather stern words there. He's saying God is going to come in and get rid of shepherds of his people who, how does he put it, who mislead and scatter the flock, and is going to replace them with those who will do the job properly. Again, image of shepherding, pastoring in the church. Certainly, there are people who use religion for all kind of unholy reasons and become cult figures and, you know, the nutcases that you see on TV. To me, the more dangerous shepherds are the ones who don't know how to rest a while. Burn themselves out, can't preach an original sermon, and just say the same old stuff week in and week out. They are just as harmful to God's people as somebody who's consciously trying to tear it apart. So today's scriptures, I think, invite us to make just a couple of very simple applications to our own lives. And I would point out to you that when they're talking about shepherds, they're talking about all of us, not just about Father Carl and me and Bishop Braxton and people who wear those funny collars. They're talking about all of us who are baptized. We are all shepherds in some sense in the church. We have a care that we must exercise for one another. And the first application I want to make is for those of you who are either parents with children in your little parish at home, or if you are employers or supervisors in the world of business where you have adults who are subject to you. I would urge you to follow the example of Jesus and make sure that those you care for get time off and are not just driven to be productive. So often in our society that is governed by the bottom line, and it's almost ruthless in that respect, we forget the need for rest and recreation. And so you who are parents with children in your care, make sure that they learn how to recreate and to rest in good, wholesome ways. Not necessarily electronic, by the way, all the time. If you are a supervisor or an owner in a place of business, take care of your employees. I think you will find out that they will be more productive and more profitable to your enterprise if they have vacations, days off, and a chance to regroup themselves instead of just always driving. So that's application number one. All of us somehow have some relationship to other people, and we need to make sure that they take their rest. Even the children, I would argue, during summer vacation, make sure your parents get a little rest once in a while. That's your shepherding job. Sometimes parents are on call 24/7, and children, you need to somehow volunteer for little jobs around the house, give them a break so that, like the apostles, they can go rest up a little bit. And the other application I want to make, just briefly, after we take care of other people up and down the line, we need to take care of ourselves as well. And this is called observing the Sabbath. Remember, even in the Ten Commandments, you shall keep holy the Lord's day. Well, for Jews, that was Saturday in honor of creation. The Christians changed it to Sunday in honor of the resurrection of Jesus. And so here we are. This is the Lord's day. Now, I don't know about you. When I was coming up, my dad would have had a major seizure if I had decided to cut the grass or wash the car on a Sunday. Much less go shopping where you couldn't because no stores were open on Sunday. Nowadays, Sunday is just like any other day of the week. You can't tell the difference. People are working like dogs, shopping like consumers are supposed to shop, I guess. If you're going to observe the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, the way it is intended, I promise you, you will be considered nutty and countercultural by your neighbors. What's the matter with those Catholics? Why aren't they out there entertaining themselves and doing all these productive things? And so I think it's important that we remind ourselves, each and every one of us has an obligation to go and rest a while. Now, everybody's got their own system as to what they find relaxing. I've probably told you before, when I go to a restaurant, I want it quiet, and I don't want to hear rock music or I don't want the waiters coming in singing happy birthday to somebody. That freaks me out. That knocks out about half the restaurants in Southern Illinois right there. I am unable to go to casinos with all those bells and whistles going off all the time. I get so nervous I almost have a heart attack. I don't find that resting a while in any sense. I don't go to theme parks where you stand in the hot line of the sun with all the rest of unwashed humanity. So I've got some pretty rigid standards myself on how I observe the Sabbath. And when I get through here this morning, if I get through three masses and two baptisms, I'm going to go home and I'm going to observe the Sabbath. I got at least three or four things I got to do. One, take a nap. Which, by the way, God rest my mother's soul, is why I don't make my bed when I get up in the morning. I'm going to get back into it. Nothing she can do about it. Number two, I have to watch the ball game, or at least part of it. And number three, I got to finish the New York Times crossword puzzle. And I got one more thing come up in a minute. But we all got our little Sabbath things, but it's got to be stuff that you enjoy doing. And I would want to add, as an old English teacher, why don't you try reading? Have you ever tried reading? Remember books? It's a great way of relaxing and observing the Sabbath. And right now I'm reading Pope Francis' encyclical letter on the environment, on care for our common home. I got one more chapter to go, and I'll get that in before the Sabbath is over too. But just curiously, I was reading a little earlier in this book where he was talking about this very subject. And he says you have to give not only rest to people, you have to give it to the land as well. Listen to Pope Francis. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work. He commanded Israel to set aside each seventh day as a day of rest, a day of Sabbath. Similarly, every 7 years, a sabbatical year was set aside for Israel, a complete rest for the land. When sowing was forbidden and one reaped only what was necessary to live on and to feed one's household. Finally, after 7 weeks of years, which is to say 49 years, the Jubilee was celebrated as a year of general forgiveness and liberty throughout the land for all inhabitants. This law came about as an attempt to ensure balance and fairness in their relationships with others and with the land on which they lived and worked. You need to get a copy of this and to read it. It's one of the most inspired documents I have ever seen in all my lifetime come out of the Catholic Church. It's absolutely a gem. And you need to do it online or buy the copy or whatever. It's a precious thing and ought to be part of your reading. I'm through for today. We're here to be refreshed in common at the Lord's table and then go home and rest a while. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.